We're now in the early stages of the fourth industrial revolution, which is bringing together digital, physical, and biological systems.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
And eventually AI won't just model the low level what the shape is, but it'll model the cell and the organ and the organism.
If you have enough data about me and enough computing power and biological knowledge, you can hack my body, my brain, my life. You can reach a point when you know me better than I know myself.
We will come to accept entities that are not biological as conscious. But it's not going to be, okay, machines on the right side of the room, humans on the left. If you talk to a biological human, they will have lots of non-biological processes going on in their body and brain. Those computers will be out in the cloud, so the thinking of that, quote, person isn't even just in their body and brain, even in the non-biological portion. It's out on the cloud. So it's going to be all mixed up. There's not going to be a clear distinction between human and machine. The bottom line is we are one human-machine civilization.
It will not only change how we communicate, how we produce, how we consume. It will change actually us, our own identity.
Not growing the virus at all, but just getting the sequences, getting the appropriate protein and sticking it on a self-assembling nanoparticle that is much, much more immunogenic.
Injecting robots into a human's bloodstream sounds terrifying. But what if I told you science has developed so far that they are actually doing it on purpose?
Making the mRNA is really easy and really cheap, and that's the magic of this thing. Now, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles, and some are very self-assembling.
Let's take a look at a 2013 presentation delivered by Israeli scientist Dr. Ido Bachelet from Bar-Ilan University, boasting about the development of programmable nanorobots thanks to the funding of Pfizer.
So this syringe has inside it 1,000 billion robots. So these robots are each 50 nanometers. 50 nanometers is about 2,000 times thinner than the thickness of your hair.
Species Homo sapiens, if we survive, we'll probably have so much power that we will change ourselves using various technologies so that our descendants will no longer be Homo sapiens like us.
Emotionally, it is easy to dismiss the work of Dr. Anna Maria Mielchia, for it is very disturbing. But her work is shown through scientific testing and backed up by government and NGO documentation. And the evidence shows that humanity has already been infected with cutting-edge surveillance nanotechnology. She also points out the important fact that the elastomers being fabricated by DuPont for this soft robot technology are made of the exact same chemicals found when analyzing the mesogens, a compound that displays liquid crystal properties, found in targeted individuals. And they appear to be the same compounds she found in the blood of the vaxxed, as well as the blood of the unvaxxed. The building blocks of hydrogels are being found in the COVID vaccine, and hydrogels are being found in the blood of both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. They are the so-called blood clots that are being found around the world. And these hydrogels can now be programmed, encrypted, and decrypted. And it's spreading. Evidence shows that the vaxxed are shedding this to the unvaxxed. A review by the RAND Corporation, Brain Computer Interfaces, U.S. Military Applications and Implications, discuss the convergence of human with machine. In an interview with Big Pharma whistleblower Karen Kingston, Kingston discusses this self-assembly nanotechnology and how the spike protein is an engineered device triggered by electromagnetic frequency and how the quantum dots are gene editing technology. This nanotechnology appears to be distributed via chemtrails, the food and water supply, medications, and in all of the scheduled vaccines for children.
These transhumanists will have literally a satanic hate for humanity, the creation of God, want to digitize every cell on Earth, every microbe, and track it as well as, again, upload it into what's called the metaverse. I am a certified chelation practitioner, and the amount of metals that I'm pulling out of people is extraordinary. So we have been systematically poisoned, but not just us, but all life forms on Earth. The rain is filled with this poison. The trees are sucking it up into their root system. So their agenda ultimately is, number one, to fuse biology with technology. The ultimate end result is that machines will take over all biology. This is an evolutionary step that we must fight at all costs, for they want to exterminate all natural humans. When you synthetically alter the human DNA that has a very specific vibratory frequency, that is also frequency specific with all of nature, we are all interconnected with the oneness of creation. That harmony is being disturbed and is out of sync when we are fusing with technology. So they're creating literally a Borg hive mind in which there are no free thinkers, there is no free will, you're just simply following the program. So we all must stand up and insist that the creation of God and the diversity of our biosphere is so beautiful, so evolutionary, magnificent. I have seen the same blood changes of these filamental self-assembly structures that are literally replacing the blood and are using the blood as a substrate to create these blood clots. And I've seen extraordinary blood clots in the unvaccinated as well. This movement is really about the final destruction of the divine human being, and we must resist at all costs. At this point, it's a fight for our survival, and I believe that denial kills people. If they are not aware of this and they don't want to do anything about it, they don't want to hear it, they have this stuff growing in them like a cancer, and eventually they will succumb to it.
Hello, many greetings to this new episode of Truth, Science, and Spirit. Today I am speaking with a recurring guest, my colleague, Dr. Janina Hagima from Romania. And if you've read my books, you know, I have included much of her research where she had looked, for example, at the COVID injections. She's looked at different vaccines like the HPV vaccine. And she's always shared her research very generously with me and has endeavored to enlighten the people of Romania about this biodigital convergence that we're undergoing. Welcome, Dr. Hagima. Dear Janina, I am so happy that you're here, and I really am very excited. Can you give us a little bit of background of how do you think in Eastern Europe and in Romania are people waking up to what is happening with transhumanism, or is there still very much denial about it?
Hello, Anna. I'm glad to be here with you again. Yes, I know. I think in Romania, a lot of people know about this transhumanism idea, but I think not. Common people know about this, but not we haven't a discussion with our researchers and people who politicians, people who should know more about these things, especially because these are planned for a long time. I found some documents that prove that these things are planned for a long time.
Fantastic.
A long time ago.
Yes, absolutely. So if you want to share your presentation and the documents that you found, you know, I often post those on my Substack. I think your research is phenomenal. So please share with us what you have found and, you know, we can discuss it further.
Yeah, can you see this, my presentation?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think that we should use the specific terms for this plan. So I make this presentation about biodigital convergence. And I will show that this decision was not a decision of people, but a decision of a small group of people. It is a top-down decision, and they have the arrogance to decide what. For our future, for our children's future, and they decided to change us.
Yes.
This information are on official sites in this moment, like a government of Canada, and we find out that this biodigital convergence implies a change of human beings, change or create other organisms, an alteration of ecosystems. Practically, this will change the world. This biodigital convergence is a fusion of the biologic and with technology. Even in Romania, we have a law. Law was given in 2022 about for prevention and fighting with cancer. In this law, they say that personalized medicine will benefit from high performance computing. Combining an individual's health data with real-time monitoring through smart devices will form the basis to create a digital twin. They mention this concept of digital twin, they will make a digital twin for each person. And this is for a personalized medicine approach and for personalized prevention for each individual. They say this is all for our health, for our for a better life, but we know that this is for control. And this passage, this fragment in our law is taken, is a blueprint of a fragment from brochure Europe's Beating Cancer Plan.
So what is very interesting about this, because President Trump just did this cancer initiative, you know, saying that the mRNA vaccines for cancer, that they will help a whole lot. And then this project Stargate of also funding artificial intelligence and how AI will help to bring these cancer cures forward. And I think it's very, very interesting that there is a simultaneous rollout in the world of this technology. And in the Cyborg Soldier 2050 document, it clearly says that healthcare will be driving the future cyborgification of society under the guise of therapeutics and precision medicine, pretty much. So I think this is very much also found in the United States. It's a global effort.
Yes, everything in this domain of biodigital convergence is global, like COVID. And I follow a group, non-vaxxer, and I found there a lot of information, and I understood that there are a lot of people implied in this biodigital convergence, in the standardization and implementing this biodigital convergence. And there are a lot of documents. I found a lot of documents in this about this, given by International Electrotechnical Commission, Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and the International Telecommunication Union. All these committees are very implied in implementation of biodigital convergence or bio-cyber interface or the fourth industrial revolution, because all are synonyms. I observed that there is a standard for nanocommunication, and this standard is used will be used, they say, will be used for also for personalized medicine. But we see this in electrotechnical journals, but not in medical journal. It is bizarre.
So can I just read here what's very interesting about this? So this is about nanoscale communication. Go down a little bit. So nanoscale communication. I cannot read it now because you left the slide. Okay.
Yes, I left the slide in Romania. I will change. They say nanoscale communication is a new paradigm encompassing all those concerns related to the exchange of information among devices at the nanometer scale. This will enable a plethora of forthcoming application and services in many different research fields, such as personalized medicine, synthetic biology, environmental science or industry, which will lead to outstanding and unprecedented advances.
So this is very important because, you know, all of the biosensors that I'm showing in the blood all the time, this is exactly what it's discussing, and it's nanocommunication for this. Thank you for reading that. Please continue.
Yes, they talked about this in the future, but we see that these technologies are in this moment in our blood. Here is a definition of a human digital twin. We see that is not only about health information, but also about lifestyle data. So all aspects of our life are included in this human digital twin. And the International Electrotechnical Commission standardized this concept. And they didn't we don't agree to share our personal data for this digital twin. Here we have a brochure of International Electrotechnical Commission about standardization of biodigital convergence. Here we have some standards for nanotechnologies, biology, informatics, and engineering. Standards for synthetic biology, biotechnologies, genetic engineering, and this International Electrotechnical Commission made efforts to do this these standards. We see here they standardized human augmentation, environmental engineering, smart farming, medicine.
And if you go back, it clearly shows there that it's standardization of cyborgs and biobots, that, and as well as artificial organs, which is all about synthetic biology, and organ and human body on a chip. That's very, important. This is exactly what they're doing, is that the bionic implants and the exoskeleton, all of that is standardized.
Yes.
It's also part of geoengineering on the other side, and smart cities.
Yes, and it's important to know that there are people who plan this. It is important to know who are these people. We see here that in this International Electrotechnical Commission, there are working groups for human augmentation technologies, for life systems and bioengineering, for agricultural bioengineering. So there are many people who are involved in this standardization. Here are some information from International Technological Union Journal. We can find out a lot of information from this site. And they say that a terahertz band, which is 6G, will enable unprecedented application both at the macro scale and at the nano scale. Here is an entire volume with articles about Internet of Bio-Nano Things. It is from 2021. But these are not new things. I have here. I don't know if yes, it is on the, on your presentation. Is my presentation? It is here. We have a document from NanoGov site since 1999 about nanotechnology research directions, and we have here a lot of information about the development of nanotechnology in this in that moment and the perspective of nanotechnology, and they said that nanoscience has numerous potential application for efficient genome sequencing, for effective and less expensive healthcare using remote and in vivo devices, new formulation and routes for drug delivery of medicine to previously inaccessible sites in the body. Also, technology can help to obtain artificial tissue and organs rejection resistant, and it is useful for sensory systems to treat to the diagnose and treat diseases, and for early detection and prevention. Here is here are all the organization which made this document. I also found a document of World Economic Forum, and they say that this fourth industrial revolution is about it's not about changing the world around us, but the very idea of what it means to be human. And they even made a new office in San Francisco in February 2017, a center that will accelerate global cooperation for effectively and efficiently governing the fourth industrial revolution, helping corporations, governments, civil society leaders, researchers, and other stakeholders to realize the greatest positive societal impact for new technology and scientific development. Another proof that this decision for the fourth industrial revolution is decided by us, but by a small group of people is this video in which Klaus Schwab say that these changes will amplify the fear of people who feel that they are losing control. I also found this document. It is written. It is published in 2016 of World Economic Forum, about the top 10 emerging technologies. And we see here, in summary, it's about nanosensors, next generation nanosensors and Internet of Nanothings, next generation batteries, blockchain, two-dimension materials. This means graphene, autonomous vehicles, organ chips that is used to test drugs. Optogenetics, it is a very important domain that is used to influence the neurological activity of the people with light. I also found this sayings on World Economic Forum site that in 22, these are from 22, and they say that we are entering in the era of Internet of Bodies. And this Internet of Bodies is a VR range of these devices that can be implanted, swallowed, or worn. And all these are for our well-being. Here is another report of the European Commission. Since 2016, and they this is called the Digital Futures Final Report, a journey into a 2050 vision and policy challenges, and this is a vision about the future, but they say that this document is scientific, have a scientific basis. And they say that by 2050, a new form of human will, transhuman will emerge. So it is about a political decision. Can you hear me?
Yes, fantastic. Absolutely. And I agree. I think that these documents are just phenomenal. They're mind-boggling that they even put this publicly out there.
Yes. So the politicians should know about this. And we know that it isn't no discussion about this with us, with the doctors, with all the people.
I agree. So the problem is really that this is this clandestine agenda. It's similar to here was the COVID pandemic, but the real plan of it was this biodigital convergence, and it is just progressing. I agree. People need to be informed about all of these plans.
Yes. And they say in this document about brain-to-brain communication via implants, interpersonal communication will be mediated through technology capable of reading information from the brain. They talk about achieving the method of telepathy. So they decided without our consent to change us, to change the world. They say in this document about the creation of direct nerve connectors, body and sense enhancing implants until 2050. And they say this transhuman will have better senses and biological capabilities that are in so far prerogative of other species. Yes, they think the human should be upgraded. So they tell us about nanobots that will help diagnosis and treatment of disease at any age, including pre-birth surgery, that these nanobots will be able to read from and write into our biology. They mention NBIC convergence, that is ongoing unification of nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, and cognitive science. Here is another document of United Nations about the fourth industrial revolution. And they say that COVID pandemic has been an anticipated accelerator to the pace of change and structural shift towards this fourth industrial revolution and the adoption of new technology. So this was the role of COVID to help implementing this fourth industrial revolution. And this implementation is helped, is made by establishing standards, technical regulation, and policy. And now we can find a lot of articles about nano bio sensors like this. We hear about nano biosensors for wireless communication in the blood, and I followed some presentation and the videos of this professor, Jan Akildiz, about Internet of Bio-Nano Things and how this technology will help humans for a better health system. He is the founder of International Technology Union Journal. And here we have some of his presentation in Congress, in Congresses in 2024 and 2023. And he says that this mRNA vaccines are nothing than small nanoscale machines. So we hear this from a professor who is not specialized in medicine. He's an electrotechnician. here is an article about the Internet of Nano Things and the interaction of these bio-nano sensors with 6G. So this technology, 6G, will be very important for the communication, for body communication and the things communication. Here is an article from 2015 of which is entitled "The Internet of Bio-Nano Things," and is one of author is Professor Jan Akildiz, and written about this technology that he consider it is non-intrusive, but because it is very tiny. But this technology is intrusive because it's for control. And this technology will be used for nano networks. Here is another article from published in this in journal IEEE about MAC protocol for wireless body area networks, and we know that some of people vaccinated, some of vaccinated people emit these MAC addresses, which can be detected by Bluetooth low energy.
Yes, I've now actually seen some people who are unvaccinated but got dental anesthetics that emit MAC addresses, and people who, for example, just got the PCR swab but are unvaccinated, a portion of them are also emitting it. So I do think that this biodigital convergence, they're trying to push it in every mode possible.
And here are some MAC addresses on my phone. I detected this type of MAC addresses, and we should have an answer about this from this commission, IEEE. And here is an article on children health defense about internet of bio-nano things, and they say here that there was no warning that nanotechnology of this sort was being pumped into our veins when you received mRNA injectable from Pfizer or Moderna. There was no informed consent offered. So it seems that Mr. Kennedy knows about the composition, the real composition, the real objective of these mRNA vaccines.
I don't know that we can say that just because, you know, he doesn't necessarily read every article and he's no longer, you know, no part of Children's Health Defense. But I am very happy that Children's Health Defense has started to cover this. And they had even invited me for an interview that I did with Mary Holland. So, you know, at least they're starting to, in very small ways, discuss it, which is a big, big progress. Hopefully in the future, there will be no more disclosure.
We hope that. And I find out that these MAC addresses are bought from IEEE commission. And I think it is important because we can make some question for them about who bought these MAC addresses we detect on our phones.
This is huge. You are saying that the MAC addresses that are now emitting for many people who got injected, that these were actually available to be bought by this engineering company. And it says here, MAC address block, $2,655. I mean, this is outrageous. And there should be a major investigation into, you know, what is the correlation, just to answer the questions.
Yes. I hope some people will make much research on this subject. And it is the security of this body area network is a problem. It is important. It's about cybersecurity. There are articles on this subject. We can be hacked because of this nano device in our bodies. And in this article, there are a lot of information about network, about body network. And I put this information here. And it is an image from this article about how these nano networks is in our bodies will function. So is this biosecurity, biocyber security is an important thing that is reflected in articles like this. I think as you find out that we have this nanotechnology in our bodies, and this technology was introduced by many ways, but one of these can be vaccines. And here is a summary of product for Engerix vaccine anti hepatitis B, Engerix, and they say that this antigen, HBs antigen, assembles spontaneously in the absence of chemical treatment into spherical particles of 20 nanometer in average diameter. So nanotechnology, even if it is not recognized by people in the domain of vaccinology, this nanotechnology, it is in these vaccines, so-called classical vaccines.
Absolutely. I always think it's very funny because a lot of doctors, you know, they poo-poo the self-assembling nanotechnology. But then if you look at, even Fauci mentioned the self-assembling nanoparticles, even Gates mentioned it. And in all of the literature of nanotechnology, you have all of these vaccines that says self-assembling nanoparticle vaccine for this and that. So the denial by the doctors is at this point, you know, ridiculous beyond belief.
Yes, and that was this fragment from the summary of product is proof. And I also find some things about fractal antenna. And I also observed these vaccines with optical microscope, and the droplet has this crystallization pattern in the case of Gardasil vaccine, and almost like this is for Engerix, and I think this crystallization suggests a fractal antenna, and maybe by optogenetics they can influence even the mind of people with the particles introduced in these vaccines. Maybe people who have some electrotechnical background will help to
identify it. I have spoken with Dr. Hildegard Steninger. She's an advanced nanotechnology expert and toxicologist, a lot about these things, because she helped me identify the microchips. And absolutely, I think that this technology is part of these injectables, at least what we find also in the blood. So there's definitely a correlation that needs to be further investigated, for sure.
And Gardasil has in composition these virus-like particles, which is also nanotechnology. I found some articles about satellites and that emits on terahertz range, and these satellites will be used for smart cities and for internet of bio-nano things. Here are some images with Moderna and the Comirnaty Omicron crystallization model. These are also very interesting things. Maybe they are also some fractal antenna for
Were articles, for example, it's called the flower nano antenna. I found similar structures also in Enbrel that has known microelectronics, because there were studies that actually looked at, you know, the microelectronics biosensing capabilities in rheumatoid arthritis of Enbrel at the Sinai hospital. So it looked exactly like that. So those are nano flower antennas. Absolutely.
And there are some brochures about this commission IEEE about neurotechnologies for brain machine interfacing. So there is a preoccupation for this domain, and I found that UNESCO is interested in this problem of ethical issues of neurotechnology, because all this technology were so advanced, and this technology should be regulated,
and none of it is, because the problem with that is because a lot of the these programs are militarized, because they're used for dual purpose, so there's no regulation whatsoever.
And here is a response of Mr. Rocco to an email I sent him. I asked him to help us to find out what is in mRNA vaccines and in these clots, these massive clots. And he said, this is his response, that he is not involved in medical research application. And that the regulatory framework for nanotechnology is affected by political factors in each country and region. We see here how will function these satellites above our cities, above us, our heads, how will communicate with the things around us. Another article about 6G and low Earth orbit satellites. And we know from a document of United Nations that these satellites will multiply over our planet if in 2022 were some 2,050 satellites around the Earth. In 2029 will be 1,800,000 satellites around the world without our consent.
And what are they monitoring? All of the data of the nanobiotechnology that is within all of the humans that are transformed into cyborgs. This is just so much evidence. You know, people need to pay attention.
And it is about a business, this bioconvergence, and we see that there are a lot of money in this business. In nanosensors market, we see a lot of money, and it is also, we see here a lot of billion of dollars about invested in human augmentation. This was my presentation. I hope it was interesting, even if my English is not so good. I read and I listen a lot in English, but I don't exercise too much the discussion.
Thank you so much. Fantastic presentation and fantastic information. And again, you know, so important, you know, a couple of years ago we shared our research, and still, you know, the world is not really paying attention enough. And this biodigital convergence is happening as we speak. It has happened through the you know, COVID-19 biological weapons, and humans are being changed without their knowledge and their consent. And that's the problem. People don't believe it because they don't feel it, but it's happening and it's in the blood. So I think this is continues to be very, very important information. Thank you so much. And, you know, I always look forward to continue to collaborate, you know, with you, and we will continue our work to alert people to this. And I know that, you know, you are very unique in Romania for speaking out about this. So bless you in all your work, and may you be protected.
I also thank you for all your work, and I hope this discussion will make people to make their own researches.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dr. Anna Maria Mihaja. I am an internal medicine physician with a PhD in pathology and 20 years of clinical experience. I've written a book that's called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity. I have explained to the world a new model of medicine in which we understand that we are biophotonic beings of light, and that if we address this model in our approach to health, that we can significantly help people. I am also the founder of the company True Blue Medical that creates beautiful blue light wellness wraps that are utilizing this principle. What's been shown is that blue light in itself has significant healing properties. For example, it increases the production of nitric oxide in the skin, which will increase the blood flow to certain areas. It's been studied that nitric oxide can stimulate the endorphin receptors, so this can also help with pain relief in a very natural form. And you have to understand that blue light has been used in optogenetics to control all aspects of the cell cycle. So we can restore, in a way, health that the regular scientific model hasn't quite thought about. So unlike infrared lights, blue light does not generate heat. And our skin absorbs biophotons and can store these as energy for healing purposes. What we have found with our beautiful wraps is that our customers have wonderful improvements in their well-being.
I slipped on the wet hose, rolled over my ankle, and broke it. But in my mind, it was a sprain. And so I went in and I wrapped my ankle. I walked on a broken ankle for 9 days. And I think the only reason I could do that is that wrap kept the swelling down and accelerated healing in a way nothing else I've tried has done.
I had a very painful hernia problem about a month ago. Dr. Anna recommended trying the True Blue Light Wrap. I wore it for 3 days and nights, 24/7, and the pain dwindled away completely. Since then, I've used the Blue Light Wrap on my back for back pain, and I've used it for headaches and migraines.
I damaged my knee, but I had a definite, noticeable improvement immediately using the True Blue Wrap. It helped directly with the pain, the swelling, and it also improved range of motion starting the first night. I know that healing this type of an injury can take months to happen, even with medical intervention, but with the True Blue Medical Wrap, I saw daily improvement.
At 71 years old, my life is full of adventures. Sometimes accidents happen during those adventures, and now I seem to have made myself arthritic. I got my blue light wrap pretty fast, and I wear it most of the time. It works. I love those little blue lights.
Thank you for watching this episode of Truth, Science, and Spirit with Dr. Anna Mihaja. If you would like to learn more about my research, you can find it on my Substack, and that is annamihajamdphd.substack.com. If you would like to find out more about my book that has won 3 different awards in the category of alternative medicine, called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity, you can find that at arthemasophiapublishing.com. If you're interested in the True Blue Medical Blue Light Wellness Wraps, of which I am the founder, you can find this at truebluemedical.com. Also, if you are interested in becoming a patient or in the Goliath laser, you can contact AM Medical LLC, my clinic, and the website is ammedicalmd.com. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.